Bugs Bunny cartoons often spoofed classical music.
Oh, mighty warrior of great fighting stock, might I inquire to ask him, what's up, Doc?
I'm going to kill the rabbit.
The 1957 satirical take on composer Richard Wagner, What's Opera, Doc, is just one example. Here with more is music historian Robert Greenberg. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Leah.
I had this image of Bugs Bunny wearing a white tie and tails. He was quite the concert musician. Tell us a little bit about the other composer's music that he performed or attempted to perform.
I think attempted to perform is probably a better way of putting it. You know, it's always interesting how this concert music was actually employed in these cartoons because, you know, Bugs is your every person. So when he deals with this high-end Euro music, at least how it might have been perceived back when these cartoons were made, there was always a bit of satire involved, a bit of mocking. So, yeah, kind of spoofs more than actually performs, but there's lots of music that was used. Tales from the Vienna Woods, The Rabbit of Seville features, as we would guess, Rossini's Barber of Seville opera. Oh, is there any composer that's more fun to poke fun at than Wagner?
What composer? How about Franz Liszt?
Well, you know, the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody number 2. Yeah, Liszt with his wild hair and his mannerisms and his shamanistic attitude towards performance. And perhaps his most popular, if not his best, piano piece is this Hungarian Rhapsody number 2, which Bugs uses. This is Rhapsody Rabbit from 46, and it's one of my very favorites because there is an audience member that coughs. So Bugs stops playing for just a moment, resumes playing. The audience member coughs again. Without missing a beat, Bugs pulls out a revolver and shoots the audience member. It is the fantasy dream come true of every musician. Overly violent, admittedly, but very satisfying.
These are examples from the 40s and the 50s. And classical music, did it get popularized through the cartoons? I mean, didn't it get hurt at all this parody?
I wish it was being parodied more today. At least it's out there, and the tunes that were used, the pieces that were used, were tuneful enough to be memorable, and folks could seek them out should they choose to. Also in these days, folks were hearing a lot more so-called classical music on their radios. I think it was more intrinsic to the culture, and the pieces that tended to appear in these cartoons were pieces that people were at least vaguely familiar with already.
There is one movie that I think has stayed with people, certainly people of my generation and my children's generation. This is Disney's Fantasia. Yeah. It was released in 1940. And I believe it was re-released in the 70s, re-released in the 80s. And I have to tell you, Night on Bald Mountain scared me to death when they did that movie. So much so that when I took my children to see it later, we left before the last act.
Before the ending.
Because yeah. I was so traumatized. But describe what happens in the part, it's really the last act of Fantasia.
It is. What you have is this extraordinary piece of music by Modest Mussorgsky, a Russian composer, and it was orchestrated after his death by his friend Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, and that's the version that we are used to hearing, the Korsakov version. In any case, we have this devil-like shadow monster emerge from this mountain. Gathers about him all of these ghouls and ghosts and other assembled nasties. And he starts playing with them and killing them off any way he wants. And it isn't until the townspeople gather with their torches and ringing church bells in the background to the music of Schubert's Ave Maria, that he has forced this evil creature back into the bowels of the mountain. The animation is amazing, very expressionistic, and for kids watching this, yeah, it is very dramatic. And it's like watching, I guess, The Wizard of Oz when you're a small kid. That Wicked Witch might not seem so scary to adults, but if you're a kid, that's hardcore stuff.
What was Disney trying to do with this project? Because there are, of course, other moments in the film beforehand. The Sorcerer's Apprentice, of course, with Mickey Mouse in the title role.
I think the intent was to create an all-inclusive art form as it could have been achieved back in 1940, using animation, using music, using the environment of the theater. This was the first commercially released film to use stereo sound, for example.
You remember the Dance of the Hours? With the hippos in doing ballet? I mean, who can forget that, right?
Yeah. That whole scene with the various animals trying to dance the ballet is hysterical.
Children became familiar with classical music, you say, through these cartoons. Do you think that happens anymore? Is this generation losing out?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's our job as parents and as educators to just play as much and as wide a variety of music to them in the car, at home, wherever we are, as we can. The other problem with this generation, because it's so easy to say the problem with this generation, but our media has become so visually oriented that sometimes it's nice to break away from the video stuff, even something like Fantasia, and just play music. Ask your kids, what is this music describing to you? What does this sound like to you? If this was a soundtrack, what kind of visual imagery might you attach to it? But ask them to use their imaginations when they listen. That's a job that we have that perhaps our parents didn't have to do themselves.
Music historian Robert Greenberg. He's with San Francisco Performances and the Teaching Company, which markets recorded lectures in the arts and sciences. And he spoke to us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Christine Arismith, with production help from David Rector, Laura Krantz, Rebecca Martinez, Dave Nogueras, and Katerina Valdivieso. Our senior editor is Jenny Burgle. Our technical director is Kevin Waite. Kim Molesky is the reference librarian. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith.
And get a load of this, Leanne. Today, we welcome the new senior supervisory producer of Weekend Edition Sunday, Devar Ardalan. As Porky Pig would say, that's all, folks.
Or as Homer Simpson would say, so long, suckers.
So.
I'm Leanne Hansen.
As Family Guy, Peter Griffin would say, here, forget it.
Oh, brilliant. Well done.